Welcome to Tough Talk Christian Radio. Tough Talk Christian Radio is for those who want to share and receive expressions of faith that will help take you to the next step in your relationship with Christ. Tough Talk Christian Radio is brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. Now here's your host, Tony Gambone.
Good morning. Welcome to Tough Talk Christian Radio. My name is Tony Gambone, and we're here on the Tough Talk Radio Network. Super excited this morning. I know every week I say the same thing. I'm super excited. But, folks, I got to tell you, if you look back on your days and you see what the Lord is doing for you, it's hard not to be excited at one time or another. Sometimes what the Lord does for us doesn't excite us too much in the beginning until we get down the path far enough to look back and understand why we're going through some of the things that we go through and some of the experiences that we get to witness. Now, today's topic is waiting on God. And I got to tell you, that's probably one of the toughest things that we have to do, because a lot of times we don't even know that we need God. We don't even think about it sometimes. There's a lot of us out there that don't even have a relationship with the Lord until something happens in our lives that makes us desperate, willing to do anything to get better, to get out of the situation that we're in, to kind of climb out of that pit we've fallen into. So there's a lot of times that we're waiting for God and we don't even know it. But we do know how powerful the Lord is and his plans for us. And he knows when we're going to be waiting for him and when he is going to show us how to wait for him. So some of the things I want to talk about today. One is welcome into the year 2017. And hopefully, this is the year that you're going to build a stronger relationship with the Lord than the people around you, and you're going to help others witness that relationship and experience that you've learned. Now, a lot of people say to me, Tony, I just don't have a story. I don't have a purpose. I don't know what my purpose is. Well, be careful saying that, because sometimes the Lord will bring something on to you that will show you your purpose, and it's not always a happy, smiley road. I know for myself, it took me a long time. I had to turn 53 before I found the Lord. So it's good news is that it's never too late. And the better news is it was the best thing I've ever done. So we're all in different situations. We all have the opportunity to do whatever we want. We have free will. But the problem with that is, well, the problem with that is if you watch the news, you'll understand the problem with that. So one of the things that I have found, it's very important to have that relationship with God. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't make mistakes, that I don't do the wrong thing, that I don't have troubles in my life. I don't cause my own problems. It doesn't mean any of that. But what it does mean is I have someone to lean on. I have someone to lean on when I am in trouble or when I am excited or when I just can't contain myself. There's that important person in my life, and that's God. Okay? And I don't even know call her a person, but the most important thing in my life is God. Now, a lot of us say our families and our children come first. And I got to tell you, I agree. But at the end of the day, it's the Lord that matters the most. And this trust and faith that you have in the Lord will allow you to know that he will take care of your family first. So it's a struggle for me on a daily basis to stay connected, because I'm just like everyone else. I'm human. And there's things that happen in my life that allow me to recognize the miracles that God does, the blessings that I receive daily. And, you know, some days the blessings I get aren't what I'm asking for. But like I said, when you get down the road far enough to look back, you can surely appreciate everything that the Lord does for us. So waiting on God, when I came up with the topic, it's because of the guest. Today is where I select the topic from. Two great guests, Kelly Gardner and Julie Castro. And I think we can honestly say after meeting them that they were at a point in their life where they were waiting on God from one point to another, just like the rest of us. So I hope that you guys will make sure to tune in. And I mean, not just listen, but tune in to the stories today. Take some notes. Make sure that that you are able to connect with my guest and to use their stories to help you tell your stories. Now, I know everyone says that they don't have a story. Well, if you're breathing, you have a story. I'm here to tell you. And if you don't believe me, sit down and write down what's happened to you, two good things and two bad things in each year for the last 5 years. And I bet you develop a story. It's just amazing. We forget because we're busy. After all, we have social media, we have cell phones, we have children, we have school, we have jobs, we have the house, and don't forget Dancing with the Stars. I mean, who wants to miss that, right? So we're very busy. But make sure to allow yourself not to be too busy to sit down with your Bible for at least 15 minutes a day and get connected. Read something. Now, there's different Bible plans that you can do for reading. Some people just open it up and read. I don't personally care how you get in your Bible, as long as you get in it. I think it will help you. I think it will be something that you're able to do. For you men out there, you know, the guys that don't ask for anything because they're, well, for lack of a better expression, stubborn. Doctors and church are probably the things that the men try to stay the furthest from. I'm not really sure why. It doesn't matter. But if you're sick, go to the doctors. And if you're not sick, pray to God that you're thankful for not being sick. Just make that connection. It'll make you a better person. It'll make you a better dad, better spouse, better employee, a better boss. It'll just make you better. And I can tell you, sometimes you'll smile on the inside, and people will be able to see it. And they're going to come to you and ask you what's going on because you're different. So take that chance, okay? Stop waiting on God and connect with him. And then know that whenever you need him, he'll be there. And even if you don't need him, he'll still be there. So take that opportunity. If you're not a Christ follower, find a church in your area and visit it. It might not be the church for you. So visit 1, 2, 3, 4, as many churches as you have to visit in order to find a connection for you to find out more about the Lord. And more importantly, here's what I really found from church. You know, I mean, going to church is awesome. Finding God is unexplainably awesome. But the thing of it is the people that I met at church were and became friends with through Bible studies and just different opportunities of doing outreach programs are like no other friends I've ever had. So try it out. Let me know what you think. You can always call into the show and tell us, 347-989-1363. And before we get started with the show today, just do a little housekeeping. You can connect with us on Facebook at Tough Talk Radio Network, or you can just connect with me at Tony Gambone. Love making connections with people, building relationships on social media. You can find us on Twitter under Tony Gambone or TTR Network. Also, you can go to toughtalkchristianradio.com and register to be a guest. Let us share what you're doing with others through the Lord. Okay? If you're troubled and you need prayer, call us, 347-989-1363. We do have some people that will pray for you on a daily basis if you want us to. I was speaking with my first guest prior to the show, and you know, we were talking about asking. It seems as though we never know to ask for anything. You know, we don't want to bother anybody. But ask for prayer. Let the people out there that are willing to pray for you, let them bless you with their prayers. See what you get out of it. You'll be able to develop your own story to tell people how powerful the Lord is. So, as I said, my name is Tony Gambone. We're here at Tough Talk Christian Radio on the Tough Talk Radio Network. We're going to take a short commercial break. And hey, folks, if you're interested in doing your own podcast, radio show weekly, let us know. You can reach me at info@toughtalkradionetwork.com. We have a program here that will help you just show up on the air and do your show. We do all the production of the show and all the back office stuff. So check us out. We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we're going to talk with a gentleman by the name of Kelly Gardner. And if you want to pull up his website before we get started, thenightthatchangedourlives.com. We'll be right back after this here very short commercial.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium, where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
All right, welcome back. See, I told you it'd be a short break. Now, my first guest today is Kelly Gardner, who has had type 1 diabetes for 42 years, was born and raised in Florence, Alabama, and he was called Birmingham home. He has called Birmingham home now for over 30 years and is the father of two boys. Now, I'm going to keep on reading, but I like to get the information from Kelly himself. So without wasting any time, Kelly, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Tony, for having me. Appreciate it.
It's our pleasure. We love it when people take time out to share their journeys and their stories with others so that it will help them understand the value of a story. So, Kelly, I know I said that you were born and raised in Florence, Alabama, and you are now living in Birmingham for a few years and a father of two. Tell us a little bit about your background. What do you do for a living?
Well, I've been a sales rep for, over 25 years. Unfortunately, I was laid off from a job I'd had for 13 years just prior to this accident that I wrote the book about. So I've been a sales rep the entire time. And in the meantime, I've been, since the accident and since my rehabilitation, I've been actually looking to search and waiting for God to find me that opportunity that I need to be, that I could be a better servant for Him.
Let me ask you, Kelly. I mean, you know, as a guy, right, we're I guess society or just our minds have trained us that we grow up, we become the breadwinner, we take care of all the problems, and everything is just going to be special the rest of our lives until we find the rocking chair. When you say that you're waiting, how hard is that on a daily basis to wait for someone that, well, people say, hey, can't even see him, he can't be real? How hard is that?
Well, it has been hard, Tony. You know, we are in a society where we want everything right here and now, and no one's willing to wait it out. I mean, we're talking about everything you mentioned, social media. We're in our cars. We're driving. We're texting. Some people are faxing from their cars. And so it's been hard just based on how our society is today. And just had to really gut it out and say, God, you know, those moments of bad time when I see no end, you know, I do stop and just pray and say, God, you know, I'm waiting for you to find that place for me where you want me to be. And it's been a really good experience of comfort and relief knowing that He's in charge.
So, Kelly, the book, The Night That Changed Our Lives, The Devil Pushed Me in a Pit, But God Pulled Me Out. I want to get to your book, but I want to take them down. Let's start from the beginning. There was I believe it was 2014, there was a big snowstorm in Alabama.
Correct.
And you were going to a doctor's appointment or something, I believe I read in the book. And before we get started, I want people to know that they can go to your website, the night that changed our lives.com, purchase the book. This is a great, it's not a long read. So guys, okay, you don't have to get to feeling like you're trapped. Get the book. It's really will be a big change in your life. So Kelly, tell us about you're driving to the doctor's and it started to snow in Alabama. I'm in Texas, in Houston. I didn't even know it snowed in Alabama, but tell us about that.
Well, you know, in the South, we're not very comfortable with snow and ice. It's just not a good combination for those of us here. And this is that day where it just unannounced, really. It was a snowstorm that was just out of the blue and turned out to be more ice than snow. And what had happened was we had some really nice, comfortable short weather, wearing short weather leading up to this. And then at night it would get cold. And we all of a sudden that frozen ground underneath really set off the ice storm that we were about to have. And you know, that's when all the businesses and schools went out at one time, and there's no place for anyone to go because it was a total gridlock. Cars sliding everywhere, people sliding everywhere, people having to walk miles and miles to get home because, you know, we're not prepared for those things here in the South. And, you know, we had as much sand going out, and there's no snow plows doing what you would see in the northern states. So here we are. We're isolated pretty much.
Now, when you I mentioned I'm in Houston, and I grew up in the Northeast, and when it rains here, I think people drive kind of funny. So we've had some flurries, and I understand what you're saying. It's just a different reality. I mean, it's just not something we're used to. So when you were going to the doctors for an appointment, I read this in your book, and because it says that you had type 1 diabetes since a child. Now, that's a feat in itself. I know some people that go through that. It's not a normal everyday life, so it's one thing. But you went out in a snowstorm. I believe you got called by the doctor because snow was so bad that they said just cancel the appointment, and you turned around. Take us down that journey. Tell us what happened in that drive back home. I mean, this is the setup, I guess, for your book, what it's written about, but one of the questions that I think came up was, what makes you do these things that you do, knowing that you have diabetes, type 1 diabetes, that could put you in a very vulnerable state? Now, I'm asking this because I have had Crohn's for 40 years. But to me, I don't have Crohn's. I'm just every day doing things like, you know, no big deal. And it seems as though that your type 1 diabetes didn't limit you from any way that you lived. So tell us the journey. Tell us how it happened.
Well, I after getting the announcement that my surgery for that day was called off, everyone gets back home safe and get the kids back home from school, and everyone's doing their little fun thing. And I decided, well, I'm going to go check on our car, which is stuck, and I go back to the highway, which is not far from a major thoroughfare through Birmingham, and Highway 31 is a major thoroughfare. And so I look out and I see our car is not that far away from it. And I look up and I see people working to help people get up this incline. The roadway is a steep incline. So I decided, well, you know, I've never shied away from pitching in to do what I can do to help, no matter what it might be. So I decided, you know, there's hundreds of volunteers all over the city doing things and helping people feel better about what's going on this day. And, I mean, it's awfully cold, too. And we got down to single digits that night that I went missing. And so here we are, you know, I'll grab one bumper. There's another volunteer, grab another bumper, maybe another one join in the middle. So maybe about two or three of us pushing a car and get as far as we can. Then we back up and get another car, see if we can push this car up the hill. So all this was not a good combination for myself, having had diabetes for well over 40 years. And all of a sudden, my blood sugar starts dropping, and I go into a hypoglycemic episode at the end of the day. And this is where everything just goes blank for me, because everyone had already gone home at that point because we'd done all the pushing and helping we could do. The police had blocked off the bottom and the top of this roadway. So there's no cars coming and going anymore. And this is where it all takes place from there.
So You're a very humble man. I know that I read in your book, and this is why people need to get the book. There's a lot of stuff in the book that's not going to be able to – we just don't have that much time on the show. But one of the things that I find interesting is you needed to rest. And so you climbed up in the back of a pickup truck and just laid on your back just to rest for a second, and your son called you. And you know, our children know us better than we think we know them. He recognized your state, and he decided he was going to come out and look for you. And you, being a guy, you know, we're dads. We don't need any help. We can do it. We're just going to get up and go for it. And at that point in time, you fell down an embankment, and I believe you landed in a creek bed flat on your back. And so take us through that. I know you don't remember that part, but waking up from that, like, right? I mean, when you wake up, and I know from my own personal experiences that there's things that happen, and you're like, okay, what's going on? You wake up in a hospital bed. What was your, like, how did you react to that?
Well, you know, it, you're correct. We're all macho, right? Guys are. And I thought I'd get myself back home. That's where no one could see this. No one did see this. And I just unannounced walked myself straight off of a cliff. And that's where I landed, 40-foot drop. And then 4 days later, that's when I wake up I've already had surgery by this point. I'm so medicated that I have no idea what's going on. I see tubes going every which way. And then I realized I'm not in good shape. Something's wrong. And that's when I was told, well, you shattered your vertebrae. You busted your head. You broke ribs. You know, but you weren't frozen. You know, you were I spent close to 14 hours lost in 8-degree weather at the bottom of this ravine. And my neighbor, my kids, and my wife were looking for me. Well, they had no idea where I was. My cell phone had died. And my neighbors did a search party the next morning, early in the morning, and they were the ones who found me. And then here I am at the Level 1 Trauma Center at downtown Birmingham at the University of Alabama Birmingham Hospital.
Now, you know, in the book it mentions social media. You know, and I have my cheat notes here, Kelly, so I know that you graduated high school in 1983 and I graduated in 1974. So that makes you, you know, around 50. When it comes to social media, maybe you and I or people our age, I should say, aren't that up to speed with it. There's not a big deal, especially guys. Okay. But social media, I believe, from what I've read, was kind of the way that you were found, because you have to go missing for a certain amount of time before the police get involved. And they're kind of busy with the snowstorm. But social media was what allowed your family to use the tool to gather people to search for you. So since that happened on social media, were you big on social media before, or are you now?
Not huge. Obviously, being a self-published author, I have to be now. Here we are on social media. That night, that's when my sisters get on board and start posting pictures of myself and saying, look, this is our brother. He has diabetes. We need to find him. We have reason to believe something's not right about what's going on with him. You know, this is where the whole prayer chain picks up too. I mean, I eventually, by the time it's all said and done, I heard from all 50 states and 5 different countries. That's how widespread it had gone. So, you know, my amazement and this whole spiritual part of this was just having the intercessory prayer take place the way it did, and to, you know, pray for little old me. And so yeah, social media has been a part of my life ever since then. For you know, this part of it, the you know, having to get the book release out and whatnot.
So, you know, Kelly, when you're in a hospital and all these things are taking place, and you wake up and you find out all this news, it's hard not to smile and realize how blessed that you really were. Now, before going into this situation, were you a man of God?
You know, I've been a Christian since I was a young child. You know, my family, you know, we were the go to church when the doors opened Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. My father was a deacon in our church. But, you know, moving forward, had not been a man of true faith. Pretty much a happy-go-lucky kind of guy. That's what I call myself. Kind of like, you know, I'm a Christian, so what? I'll go about, I'll sin here, and I'll ask God, please forgive me, and I'll move on about myself. Well, then, you know, all this happens, and I'm going, wait a minute, you know, something's not right here. This is where I felt God was tapping me on my shoulder, and he picked me out for a special purpose. You know, I was humbled, Tony, because of all the volunteers that were helping, and I got singled out, and I thought, this is not right. This is where I felt awkward when I had people call me different names, Snow Angel, and you know, you were, you did all these things for people. You know, they had all kinds of things thrown my way, and I just felt humbled. But at the same time, I said, "Wait a minute, God's got a purpose in this for a reason," and that's where I felt he tapped me on my shoulder. And the part about, you know, my subtitle, you know, "The Devil Pushed Me in the Pit, But God Pulled Me Out," that's exactly what has happened in my life. I was that happy-go-lucky Christian guy, no big deal, you know, go to church every so often here or there. But now I find myself on a spiritual walk that I never thought I would ever be on, and happy to be on.
It's amazing how God gives us a nudge, sometimes 40 feet, but it continuously blows me away what it takes for us sometimes to shift. It's not a huge turn. It's just a little shift. It comes from not being just the guy that goes to church on Sunday and knows he's a Christian by title. But, you know, it's a lot more than that. And so, Kelly, you've written this book. And tell me what writing this book has done for you.
Well, there are a lot of things that happened. There were people that were saying, gosh, Kelly, we're going to read a story about you one day with a book, and then we're going to see you run you're going to be running a marathon one day, and we might even see you on a TV movie about what you've gone through. A lot of people saw things that I went through, and they just saw a story behind the story. So for me to get, for me to write the book, it was also about to thank the people that I never could thank. The people that prayed for me, people who gave to a medical fund in my name to pay for hospital bills. So it was a way of saying thanks for these people at the same time, telling those who may not have heard the story, sharing, you know, that, hey, just because we're going through a difficult situation, you can be assured that, you know, satisfied that God is in control and he's up to something good in the midst of trouble. And that's where I found myself by writing the book, is to share all that story, that message, that don't give up on hope. You know, there's always a reason that you're going through what you're going through. And, you know, whether it's good or bad, you know, a lot of people don't like the bad stuff, but we know that, you know, you can pull yourself up out of it. And that's where I found myself here, needing to tell people, you know, God's in control. And you can be assured that that you can pull yourself out of that problem that you're in with God's help.
Mm-hmm. So, is there another book coming?
I've had to ask a lot of times. I'd laugh and say, I never thought I was going to write the first one, and this is the only time I hope I ever have to write it, is because of the accident. So, right here now, no, there's not going to be another one. Now, I did want to be a writer at one time in my life, many, many years ago, back in high school days, but that was just a fleeting moment that I had, and it never evolved into anything big, obviously. But now here was my chance, and I was ecstatic to write this one. But no, unless there's something major catastrophic happen in my life, that there's not going to be another one that I'm aware of.
Well, Kelly, I want to be the first one to tell you to beware. I wrote a book on my life story, and now there's I've written two other books as well. So you just never know what the Lord's going to place on you. He surely is using you as an example of what people could get in life if they follow the Lord. Kelly, let me ask you this question here. You know, you said that you were laid off after having a job for so many years. And I think that I've read this somewhere. People are asking you how you could just stay so positive and optimistic after being laid off and this taking place and, you know, going through what you went through. What keeps the smile on your face?
Well, it's just God all the way around, every single moment. I was flown to Orlando, Florida for an interview for a job that would be based here in Birmingham. And I got a phone call the next day from the lady that said, sorry, you didn't get the job. And I let this little chuckle out. And she said, excuse me? Was that funny? I said, no, ma'am, you don't understand what I've gone through in my life. I've been looking for work for a long time. And all the other things that's happened in my life, I said, God's got control of my life now. And I just had this good feeling come over me. That's why I had that little chuckle come out. I said, look, I'm not laughing at you or the idea I did not get this job or the company. You just have to understand that how God has worked in my life. She said, oh, well, God bless you. And I said, well, God bless you. I'm happy. I know that by just stopping praying and asking God, you know, please, you know, help me get to this moment that of despair that I think I'm going through.
Mm. You know, one of the things that I found when I found the Lord and went through my situation and started talking to people just like you had that conversation, I found that so many more people were deep into the Word and willing to talk about their Christianity, about their faith. And where before I thought, well, you know, it's not really politics and religion. You don't really talk about that, you know. But I really found that there were so many people out there that just were available to have that conversation with. Have you found that?
Oh, yes, absolutely. There's been a multitude of people that no matter where I go or on social media, people respond back with messages of thank you for this or thank you for your testimony. Thank you for sharing. I'll bump into people all the time just out shopping. They go, oh, well, we're so happy to see you out and about and see that you're smiling, that you're happy. And knowing what I've gone through and knowing the pain that I probably still have in my body, all the way to the very end. And that pain is kind of a fleeting moment for me. You know, it's knowing that God still is going to be there for me and he's going to help me get through those bad moments that, you know, we go through.
Amen to that. Hey, Kelly, we're up against the clock, and I know we wanted to talk about praying for people. I know that we mentioned in the beginning, you know, where men are more macho, women are more willing to ask. What did you find when people start praying for you? I know maybe in the beginning it might have been a little bit awkward, but at the end of the day, what did you find from that?
Just the comfort and joy of knowing that I had those people that were thinking about me through Christ. You know, they were stopping and saying a prayer, even a thought about this guy that's either when I was a missing person, when I was found, and when I was going through my rehabilitation, you know, they were thinking about the things I was going through, and they were praying for me that entire time. And I appreciated that. And I told people, tell me that all the time, oh, we were praying for you. And I said, guess what? I felt every one of those prayers. Every single prayer that I got, I felt them. And, you know, whether or not you stopped and prayed for 15, 20 minutes, it doesn't matter. If you were thinking about me, you were praying to God in your mind, in your heart, and your soul for my benefit, that I will come out safe. I will come out through rehabilitation that I came through, and that now my life will be a testament for a lot of other people.
Well, Kelly, before we let you go today, and I'm going to have you back on because we've had a lot of things that if people will get your book, if they would go to your website and purchase the book, the Night That Changed Our Lives.com, get the book. I would love to have you back on so that you can. There's so much more to this conversation yet, especially for the men out there, because, you know, what you just said about people praying for you, my own experience was I can't even explain the joy that I had at that moment when things were such a struggle that others really cared enough. It made me feel as though I had to fight harder just because they were praying for me. I couldn't give up on them. So, we're going to have you back on the show. But, Kelly, what's the one thing that you would like people that hear this interview try to do in 2017 that you have found has helped you?
Oh, gosh. We have to go to a whole other interview for all this. There's so much. You know, I would just say just put on your boots, tie up your bootstraps and get moving and don't take no for an answer. Remember now, the sea couldn't stop Moses and a wall couldn't stop Joshua. If death couldn't stop Jesus, then in Christ, nothing can stop you.
So amen. I like that. Yeah, I like that. I'm writing that down. Thank you very much, Kelly Gardner, for being on our show today, taking the time out to share with us what you've been through, taking the time out to write a book so others could experience it as well. I look forward to connecting with you on another show. I really appreciate your time today.
Thank you very much, Tony. I enjoyed the time with you.
Okay, buddy. You have a blessed year, and we'll stay in touch.
Thank you, my friend. I look forward to it.
Thank you. Folks, we're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back with Julie Castro. She is the author of On Earth as It Is in Heaven, a personal. Well, I'm gonna leave that for when we come back from a commercial break, because my computer screen just went haywire. So I have the book here in front of me, On Earth as It Is in Heaven, a personal allegory. So stay tuned. We'll be right back after this very short break.
Did you know that an estimated 52 million Americans listened to internet radio in the last month, or that weekly internet radio audience has increased 60% over the last year, and that more than 8 in 10 people are online from any location? Tough Talk Radio Network is a company dedicated to providing a platform that allows opportunities for guests, hosts, and sponsors to market themselves through the internet radio medium where they can be heard by millions. To find out how Tough Talk Radio Network can help you, go to toughtalkradionetwork.com.
All right, welcome back. Now, we just had a great interview. Kelly Gardner from Alabama wrote a book, The Night That Changed Our Lives. The devil pushed me in a pit, but God pulled me out. You can go to his website, thenightthatchangedourlives.com, and purchase the book. Give us some feedback. Connect with Kelly. Learn more about the incredible things that he was too humble to talk about. My next guest, Julie Castro. As I mentioned, she's an author, and she's the owner of a publishing company as well. So I want to waste no time and bring Julie up onto the show. Julie, welcome to the show.
Tony, thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure, and I can't thank you enough for taking time out, especially early in the morning on a Sunday, to do a radio show with us.
Well, you know, God's time is always good, and it doesn't matter what time it is. So I'm very blessed to be on your show, and I thank you for it.
Well, it's my pleasure. Could you tell us where you're calling in from and where you're from originally?
I'm calling in from Phoenix, Arizona, and I was born and raised in Detroit, Michigan. And in the meantime, from the meantime, I actually lived in quite a few other places.
Well, you landed in a nice, warmer spot than Detroit, so that's got to be
better. And that's exactly why I left.
Yeah. So, all right. So, Julie, you know, as we on the show about books that people write, you have a publishing company. Is that correct?
I do. And actually, it was my mother's publishing company 20 years ago. She wrote a guidebook to Tucson along with a friend. She had the company for about, 5 to 7 years, and then she let it go defunct. And, you know, she did what she wanted to do. She experienced being a publisher, and that was that. Well, you know, 15 years later, unbeknownst to me, God had already planned that I would be writing a book. And when I started writing, I would research publishing and that kind of stuff. I actually forgot all about Fiesta Publishing and my mother's publishing company. And the next thing I was telling my mom, I said, you know what, I'm writing this book. And she goes, oh, you should have Fiesta Publishing publish it. And it was like, oh, my gosh, yes, I'll resurrect Fiesta Publishing. And so that's what I've done. And I've had the company back in business for 2 years now.
Now, have you always been someone that's, with your mom being in the business, have you always been someone that's a writer or a reader? Or?
Well, here's the interesting thing. I've never been a reader. My mom and dad were both very avid readers. We don't ever know what our life path and how things build upon each other. But I had a job when I worked at the University of Arizona, and I wrote grants to keep this community-based organization within the university up and running. And so the director at the time, I would read her grants, and I would just basically edit just to make sure she was, you know, right, answering the questions and, you know, any kind of grammatical kinds of things. And then I moved to a state position where I found myself writing even more. Now, at the church that I was going to at the time, the pastor would say, there are books to be written. There are books to be written. Never crossed my mind until one day the Lord said to me, clear as day, I want you to write a book. And I knew what he wanted me to write the book about. And so I started to write. So in a way, yes, I had been writing, but the idea of writing a book, no, that was not on my agenda until the Lord said, yes, you do this. And so out of obedience, I did.
Okay, so on earth as it is in heaven, how did you come about that title?
Because I was walking the scriptures. I pray and I seek the Lord in a really different kind of way. And so when I read the word, I pray first and say, you know, Lord, what is it that you need me to know? What am I experiencing here? What do I need to understand, learn, that kind of a thing? And the Holy Spirit will sort of show me, right? Not sort of, he does. Show me exactly where to open up in the book, and the book will just sort of automatically open. I know a lot of people would call it Bible roulette, but for me personally and my personal relationship with the Lord, this is how he works. And so I'll start reading on both pages, and usually, sometimes I have to switch over to the next page, the answer is right there, and he will tell me exactly through the scripture what I'm experiencing. So that, you know, the word of God comes down from heaven. So what I was experiencing, that's why I write, on earth as it is in heaven, because I'm experiencing on earth what was divine revelation from the Lord to the prophets or who was ever writing from heaven, and that's why it's that way.
I like that. That's awesome. That is awesome. Yep. Now, you know, you kind of mentioned that the publishing company kind of went silent for a while, and now you're back. You published a book through that. Are you now running that publishing company again? Is that correct?
I am, and I am just now getting to the place where Fiesta Publishing is going to probably will publish between 1 and 4 books this year. There's been a lot of legwork, and actually, God is taking me and doing some other things at the same time. and it's all about the timing and having the right books. I've read quite a few manuscripts, but Fiesta Publishing is not a company that is just going to say, oh, yes, I'm going to publish your book. I want you to have the best book that you can possibly have. And so I've had to send them back to people to say, you know, you need to clear, and I'll write notes, clarify this, why did you do that, so that, because when we write, a lot of times we have it in our head, and we know what we're thinking and what we're saying, but it doesn't come out on the piece of paper correctly.
Mm.
And instead of me saying, oh, yes, I'm going to take your money and publish your book, no, I'm not going to take your money because I want you to have the best book that you can have. I've been working with one gentleman for a couple of years, and it's just now getting ready to be published because I wanted him to have the best book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're correct. A lot of people just take your money and publish the book. Sometimes you could read the book and wonder if they ever even did edit it, but there's a lot of that going on out there, especially now when you can self-publish, and there's just so many things going on.
Right.
So for someone to take interest in that situation like that, there is I think, commendable, because it's important that someone looks out for what's in our hearts, that's on paper, that is a big, big deal to us. So I want to turn another direction. So
okay.
The title of today's show is Waiting on God. And I don't know if you got to listen to Kelly, but I mean, he laid for hours on his back in cold weather, unconscious for 3-4 days. And I would have to think that the outcome shows that God was there. So maybe he was waiting on God. But you were waiting on God for a different situation. Can you talk about that?
Absolutely. When I was married for 12 years, and when my divorce was final, I stood in the middle of our computer room or our office in the house, and I said, Lord, it's okay if I never get married again. And I just felt the Lord say, no, you are going to get married again. Okay, so life goes on. I move. I do going on about my business. And all of a sudden, I find myself at this at a church, and the pastor is single, and I'm like, oh no. And so the book is about my journey of waiting on the Lord, but actually also waiting for this man to come forward, because the word says he who finds a good wife finds a good thing. Women, I'm telling you right now, do not be thinking, looking. Let the man make the move. You will save yourself a lot of heartache by waiting on the Lord for the situation. And in my situation, this man basically did not move forward. There were all kinds of confirmations, but I waited patiently, and then finally the Lord just said, through some other actions that I talk about in the book, it's time to go. And so I did. And you know what? At this point in time, I went through a whole healing process that I did not even know. I'm actually very thankful for being released from the church and being released from who I believe that God had as my husband, because it has taken my life in a completely different path. And it's been a good one. And I, to be very honest right now, Tony, if I don't get married, I am really fine with it. Because I know who I am in Christ, and that man has got to be someone very special to understand that I'm not going to let anything, man or the world, ruin or get interfere with my walk with the Lord. And so because of that, if I don't get married now, it's okay. And if I do, well, then that man is already going to know who I am and where I'm coming from and what Lord has put in for me to do, and we'll go forward together.
Hmm. That's awesome that you have that strength, because as humans, you know, we're built weak, And so, and we get lonely, and there's just different things that add up to a lot of us that would say, hey, let's just give it a try. So I commend you on that. I want to ask you, you talk about non-traditional Christianity.
Mm-hmm.
Explain that to me.
Well, in most churches, they talk, and I'll give an example. Most churches talk about tithing. But tithing is Old Testament. Jesus tells us to give, and he loves a cheerful giver. We have to remember that the very first commandment that the Lord speaks to us is love the Lord with all our heart, might, soul, strength. And the best way to do that is to be obedient. So if the church is telling, and I use church as a church building, and a pastor is saying you need to be tithing to this church and bring your tithe into the storehouse, you really need to be seeking the Lord and asking, Lord, is that what you want me to do? Because my personal belief is if everybody was obedient to what God is telling them to do with any amount of money, I don't care if it's a dollar, $10, or $1,000, no church would ever be in a bad shape. And there's a lot of churches that are basically, they're floundering because they're not in a good solid financial place. The other part of it is why, if pastors are if the church is floundering, why is not the pastor or the leadership working? You know, Paul worked. He also didn't work. But, you know, it's all about being obedient to what the Lord tells you in what to do. And that's one of my big beefs, because if you look in 1 Corinthians 16:2, Paul's talking and he tells the church, set aside what you're saving so then I can take it to Jerusalem. Well, the Lord gave me a very specific instruction, and I'm going to tell you what, because I tithed, and the Lord said, I want you to stop tithing. And when he said that, I said, you have to confirm it, and that's when he gave me that scripture. And I knew what he was telling. There was a very specific purpose for him in telling me not to tithe into the church that I was going to, because he had other plans for me. And basically, I'm using the money that I would give as an offering to put into the ministry that God has called me to. Because if I'm not believing in my own ministry and supporting my own ministry, how is anybody else going to? And I would only say at that point in time that people would do it out of obedience. And I had someone give me money the other day, and I was like, oh, my gosh. But you know what? I can't say no, because they were being obedient to what the Lord told them. So I said, thank you very much, and we'll use it as they requested it to be used. So that's non-traditional. We think there's a lot of traditions of man. Set time for this, set time for that, set time for this thing. And you know what? Why not let the Holy Spirit lead the service? And I think we would see a lot more miracles and a lot more signs and wonders instead of being concerned about people's time. If people have to leave, they can get up and leave quietly, but don't disturb the Holy Spirit and what he wants to do.
I like that. So do you have children?
I have one son, yes.
And so what is it like raising a child in a non-traditional Christian home?
Well, you know, very interesting, because I always read the Word of God. You have to understand that once I was saved, I went to church for like 6 months, and I moved to San Francisco and went to a church for 2 years there. After that, I did not go to church for 22 years. And when I say church, I talk about a going to a building and, you know, congregation, that kind of stuff. I never forsook, because I had friends. I never forsook the fellowship, and I always read the Word of God. So what I always did was, there, you know what, life is circumstances are all filled in the Bible, and you can always find, there's always a scripture to support something or a teaching that you want to teach your child. And that's basically what I would do. I mean, one time my son said something, it got him in trouble, and I was able to share with him Romans 8:28. I'll tell you what, that's one of the best scriptures, Romans 8:28, that God will make all things right for those who believe in him. And I would quote that to him. Or if he would talk about, just the other day we were talking and he had lent a friend some money. And I said, well, you know, I hope that money comes back. And he goes, Mom, I've basically written it off. And I said, you know what, that's scriptural. Because when you lend, you should never lend with the idea that you're getting it back. So life circumstances have been able and allowed me to share scripture. And we know that the word of God doesn't return void. So those scriptures are going into my son. And he sees. Now, I can't judge what his relationship is with the Lord, but I'll tell you what, he sure does listen every time I speak to him and I speak the word of God. And I always make sure he knows the scripture says or the Bible says or the word of God says this. And he listens.
Well, and that's the important part, that he's able to take that with him. And you know, because with children, it's complicated. If it's not on their phone or their tablet, sometimes they're really not interested. Or a video game. So the fact that you're getting through to him is important, I think. And I think that a lot more parents should take time to sit down an extra minute or so and have that type of explanation or comparison to what's written in the Bible, because I'm sure it helps you just as much as it helps him when you do that research.
And you know, the thing is that when you can back up a circumstance that they're going through with the Word of God, it in other words, this was written thousands of years ago, but it still pertains to today. And, you know, my son is 22 years old, and so, you know, I've seen, polls or whatever, and they say that, you know, the 18 to 22-year-olds, those are in college, and if they were raised in the church, most of them, like 95% of them or 85%, have gone away from the church. But you know what? As a parent, we are the church, and we can speak the word. They can or cannot listen. And I'm going to give you an example. Well, I take the train to and from work, and the Lord opened up a door, and I was ministering to a man. Actually, the Lord told me to go and pray for him. So I went over, and I prayed for this man. Unbeknownst to me, people are listening. When you are speaking the word of God, you don't know who's listening. So after I was done ministering, I got up and I moved to another seat. And a man said to me, he leaned over and he said, what made you go pray for him? And I said, because the Lord told me to. And then the Lord started speaking to me. And I said, and before that, I said, do you need prayer? And he said, oh, no, I don't need prayer. And the Lord started speaking. And I said, no, you don't need prayer. I said, because your mother's praying for you. And his eyes got big. And I said, oh, my gosh. I said, you are running from the Lord right now. And his eyes even got bigger. And I said to him, I said, listen, sir. And this man was older. Okay, so he was in his 40s, 50s, or 60s. I don't really know. But the thing was, I said, I'm going to tell you what, sir. I said, stop running. And because God's going to get you by the scruff of the neck, and it's going to be worse coming by when you're kicking and screaming, then if you will just come and just say, all right, Lord. But see, here is a mother who is praying, and she's probably instilled in her son the word of God, and God's still working on her child. And I'm just believing right now in the name of Jesus that that man stopped kicking and screaming and came and is now serving the Lord full time. That's what I'm believing as I speak this to you. So
Amen. We
don't ever know. We just don't ever know.
Well, Julie, we're up against the clock. I do apologize. I want to find out if there's another book coming from you. Are you in the midst of writing another one?
Well, yes, I am. It's stirring in my spirit right now. I know I'm actually coming to an end of a season, and the beginning of a new one is coming, and I am supposed to write about these last couple of years because it will be the springboard for what's getting ready to happen going forward. So, yes, it will, but it'll probably be about a year because it takes a while for a book to get published.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I apologize for the quick exit, but we are up against the clock. Let everyone know how they can get a hold of you.
Well, you can go on to fiestapublishing.com and send me an email that way, and I'll be glad to respond, look at everything. There are some new things that are getting ready to happen, and a new TV show called Thirst No More and Bear Fruit is getting ready to go forth. We'll just sort of, I'm waiting on the Lord on that one, but books, all I will say is be obedient to whatever the Lord is telling you to do.
Love that word. That's my word of 2017. Julie, thank you for your time today. People, go to fiestapublishing.com, purchase the book. You won't regret it. I've been dabbling through the book as well. I just can't thank you enough, Julie, for your time today. We will have you back on the show again. There's a lot more to cover, and I do appreciate the time that you spent with us here today. Have a blessed 2017.
Thank you, Tony, and God bless you too. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Folks, that's our show today. We kind of went over the clock, but hey, listen, we know that we have no control of the time. We have no control of what the Lord is bringing to us. All we can do, as Julie mentioned, and as I mentioned in the first part of the year, the word of the year for me is obedience. It was the same word I had in 2016. I think I needed to work harder, so I carried it over. Maybe a do-over. Anyway, be obedient. Be obedient to the Lord. Be obedient to yourself and your family and your neighbors. Have a blessed day. Join us next week. 7:30 Central Time here on Tough Talk Christian Radio.
You have been listening to Tough Talk Christian Radio with Tony Gambone, brought to you by the Tough Talk Radio Network. A special thanks to all of our sponsors. If you'd like to be a sponsor or a guest, please visit toughtalkradionetwork.com for more information.